Amen. This morning, I'm wondering how many of us would be honest enough to say that you have felt like a fool. Wow, look at all the hands. You felt like a fool. I do not embarrass very easily, but recently, as I've been attending the gym for about 3 months, I am starting to feel a little bit more like a fool at times. And I'm not going to like a normal gym where you can kind of blend in. I decided to sign up for one of those crazy CrossFit gyms where they make you carry things and run and do all kinds of stuff that my chiropractor says I shouldn't do. And it's just like a mental game of like, I can't do that because I'm going to look weird or I'm going to look like a fool. And so I came into the gym last week, one morning, and they have these boxes set up. And there's about 15 of us usually in a class, and there's these boxes that are about maybe that high. And I know that what those boxes mean. I know that it's going to involve probably stepping or jumping onto those boxes. Now, I've stepped onto a box, but I've never jumped. I'm not quite like a leaper, you know? And so when it came time for the box jumps, I'm like, oh, Lord, I can't do this. So I pulled the trainer aside. His name is Jaron. He actually comes here to Worship Center. He might be in here this morning. He's a beast. He's a little bit shorter than I am. And I'm like, hey, Jaron, I've never done this. And in my head, I'm thinking, I don't know if I can do this. He's like, hey, bro, you got this. You can do it. All you got to do is go up right in front of the box that your toes are touching it, and then you just jump. And I'm like, ha, that sounds real easy coming out of your mouth. I can say that too. All you got to do is go up and touch the toes with the box, and then you just jump. I'm like, no, there's just no way. And he's like, I got you, man. He goes around the other side. He's shorter than me. And he's like, come on, just do it. You can just jump and do it. And I'm thinking, this is a disaster waiting to happen. I've seen all the fail videos where the people jump onto the box falls on them, they go over the box, and I'm doing the calculations in my head, and I'm like, I'm gonna be even higher and taller than him, and he is shorter, and the velocity of my weight combined with his weight and the fat and the muscle that are gonna meet, it's not gonna end well. And he says, jump. And that whole concept of looking like a fool, I'm like, here we go, in front of the class, let's just do it. And I did it. I jumped on a box. Yeah. And then I love Jaron. He's like, let's do it 10 more times. I don't know if he's here. He's probably embarrassed if he is. Hey. I love you, bro. So I have been experiencing this foolish feeling pretty often at the gym. But when I study the scripture and I look at the book of Proverbs and I see this word fool over and over and over again, F-O-O-L, I'm like, does it mean the same thing that we talk about when we say I felt like a fool? Does it mean to be embarrassed or to feel stupid, or does it mean something else? And so Proverbs 1:7 says, the reverent fear of the Lord, that is worshiping him and regarding him as truly awesome, is the beginning and the preeminent part of knowledge. Its starting point and its essence. But arrogant fools despise skillful and godly wisdom and instruction and self-discipline. And so the reality in this little story that I shared is that if I refused to do the box jump, I'm more than a fool than if I did the box jump and missed it. You following me? Because the Bible says wisdom comes from God, and fools despise wisdom, instruction, and self-discipline. The Hebrew word that is most often used for fool in the book of Proverbs is this word. Does that word look familiar to you? Isn't that kind of funny? And the meaning of this word is of one who despises wisdom, one who mocks when guilty, of one who is quarrelsome, of one who is licentious. Well, let's split that word up. I don't know what the heck that means, so I had to Google that. And when you do that on the church Wi-Fi, it don't go well. Sorry, Don. That word means sexually unrestrained, lascivious, lewd, unrestrained by law or general morality, lawless, immoral, going beyond customary or proper bounds or limits, disregarding rules. And so when Proverbs is talking about fool, it is talking about closed-minded, overconfident people that reject instruction and correction. They're unteachable. They lack spiritual insight. They're spiritually blind. They're flippant. They're hardened. And they deliberately choose to reject God and his wisdom. That is what a fool is. And it seems that the difference between being wise and being foolish is centered on God. Could it be that simple? That to be wise is to be surrendered and to deliberately walk in obedience to God. And to be a fool means to deliberately turn away and just harden your heart to God. Proverbs 28:26 says, "He who trusts confidently in his own heart is a fool." I'm sorry, is a dull, thick-headed fool, not just a normal fool, a dull, thick-headed fool. "But he who walks in skillful and godly wisdom will be rescued." Proverbs says the wise are obedient and submitted to God's leadership and authority and are pursuing him. And so there's this problem that arises because in me, if I'm left on my own in life and I try to do life on my own, my natural tendency, if I'm not careful, is to always kind of get pulled towards sin. So I need godly wisdom in my life so that I don't pursue sin and instead I pursue Jesus. Paul talks about it in the New Testament this way. He says, "I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't, what I do, what I do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it." Have you ever felt that way? Do-do-don't-don't-don't-da-do-don't. You know, you're all kind of like, this is what I want to do, this is what I don't want to do. It's like this internal war between us and this desire to participate and to literally dabble in sin. Paul goes on in Romans 7:21 and says, "I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin?" Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ. Who's the answer? Jesus. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. The answer is Jesus. And so I need godly counsel and wisdom, and we're going to see that Jesus promises us that he did not leave us here alone. Like, Jesus didn't show up and like do the death, the burial, the resurrection, and say, "Peace out, Girl Scout, figure it out on your own. I'll be back whenever I show back up." He provides a comforter and a counselor that we're going to learn about. We're provided the word of God in scripture. And so we're going to dive into Proverbs a little bit more. We're going to look at what Jesus said in the New Testament, and we're going to discover how to find godly wisdom and counsel in our lives. And I know it's almost too simple. Like, really, I use the KISS principle. Keep it simple, Shannon. I find godly wisdom and counsel in God's word. I find it in God's word. Proverbs 16:20 says, "He who pays attention to the word of God will find good and blessed, happy, prosperous, to be admired is he who trusts confidently in the Lord." 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." And Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." That's why we need to be in the word. "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are all accountable." Joshua 1:8 says, "Study the book of instruction continually." How often? Continually. "Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do." And what's interesting that all these scriptures that I've read to you is there, we sometimes, if we're not careful, we take them and we think, well, I'm only going to read the New Testament. But the original testament, the OT, the Old Testament, is what the scripture is actually referring to. And we have a tendency to kind of not focus on the Old Testament and only dive into the New. But the reality is that the New Testament wasn't canonized when these scriptures were shared. And so there's still truth for our lives in all of God's word. And that's why we need to spend time in it, studying it. The problem is that maybe we don't know how to spend time in God's word. Maybe we don't know how to study it. And I don't want that to be like a hurdle or something that holds you back from growing in your relationship with Jesus. And so I'm gonna give you some tips. Are you ready? Get out your pens and pencils and paper. And you young people can get out those phones that are so distracting. I'm gonna give you some tips. The first one is find an easy to read translation. Maybe you grew up in a church setting where they told you the only authorized word of God is the King James Version. If that's what you can read and that works for you, great. You are triply blessed more than me, because I can't. Find a translation that you can read and you can spend time with. Change it up a little bit. Get a real Bible. Now, I'm not saying some translations are better than others. I'm saying get a real physical Bible, like one that isn't gonna send you text messages in the middle of your time. One that when you're in the middle of reading, all of a sudden you don't remember that you need to order toilet paper from Amazon. Right? We've all been there. Your real physical paper Bible isn't gonna send you notifications that so-and-so just posted on Facebook. Get a real Bible. Have a reading plan or a devotional that you follow. If you don't have one, maybe just start with the book of John or the book of Romans. Set aside and schedule time every day. Make it a priority, just like you would to be in relationship with your friends or your family. Schedule that time. And most importantly, read until you are full. Not until you feel like you've checked off the list of enough. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. And so if all you can handle is reading two verses, those could be the most two powerful, life-changing verses for you in this season. It's okay. Focus on the quality, not the quantity. Take notes and journal. Memorize the scripture. Get it into your mind and your heart. You can have all the Parks and Rec and Office and whatever other TV show quotes in you that you could possibly imagine, but those things aren't going to transform your life. Only the Word of God is. Post it on Post-it notes. Put it on the fridge. Just think, if every time you opened the fridge door, you had to say a scripture, man, you would know the Word of God inside and outside, right? I tried that once. I was like, hey, can you open the fridge for me? Talk to others about it. That's why small groups are so important. Small groups are all about diving deeper into the Word of God. It's an opportunity to grow and to hear what other people are hearing and seeing and feeling. And so be in a group that discusses the Word. And so there's plenty of study tools out there. There's BibleProject.com that breaks the Word down. There's BlueLetterBible.org. There is the Filament Bible app, if you can be very disciplined to be on your phone at the same time that you're reading. There's so many tools and resources for us that there's no excuse for us to spend time reading His Word. And so I want to give you some questions as well that you can ask yourself as you're reading in Scripture. They're super easy questions. Are you ready? The first one is, what? Can you say what? The second one is, so what? So what? And the last one is, now what? Good job. Over there, you got it good. Let's do it all together. What? So what? And now what? So here are some what questions. What is happening? Now, that's a good question to ask when you're reading the Word. What is happening right here? What is the historical and cultural background? What is repeated? What is emphasized? What is related? Those would be great examples of just a few what questions. So what questions would be, what questions do I have? I find it almost literally impossible to not read the Word and have about 1,000 questions come up as I'm reading. What questions do I have? How does this impact my life and my relationship with God? Now, what questions would be, what have I learned and what must I apply to my life? What are some actions I need to take to apply it to my life? Is there scripture that I should memorize? And so These questions are actually available. All the tools I listed, all the tips to get started in spending time in God's Word are going to be available to you this week. They're coming out in the e-news. If you don't get the e-news, it's worshipcenter.org/e-news to get it. If you want a physical hard copy, because it's easier that way, when you go out both doors, when you leave today on the kiosk, there's a hard copy that you can grab that has everything we just talked about. Because we want to see you be able to just successfully spend time in Scripture and reading His Word. Remember, the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. That is why it is so important to be in it. And it gives us wisdom for our lives. It gives us counsel for situations that we're dealing with. And so I find godly wisdom and counsel in God's Word. I find godly wisdom and counsel from others. Eesh. This is a tough one, right? Proverbs 11:14. Proverbs is full of great examples of how this works. Where there is no wise, intelligent guidance, the people fall and go off course like a ship without a helm. But in the abundance of wise and godly counselors, there is victory. Proverbs 12:15 says, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. Proverbs 13:10 says, through pride and presumption come nothing but strife, but skillful and godly wisdom is with those who welcome well-advised counsel. And Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to counsel, receive instruction, and accept correction. Oh, right? Children, parents, sometimes parents need corrected too. Don't go out and correct your parents after this. But you know what I mean. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. That's okay. It's true. Every single one of us needs corrected. That you may be wise in the time to come. We are not made to do life on our own. This is not how it was made, planned, intended. And so we need others in our lives. We need wise, godly counsel to help us to see the blind spots in our lives. And every single person that's in this room, that's online, that's out there in Commons area drinking coffee and eating donuts, you need godly counsel because y'all have blind spots. Do you know what a blind spot is? It's that spot where you can't see what's lurking around in there, right? I used to have this car that was like, everybody called it the green toaster. It was a Honda Element. I'm so sorry if you own a Honda Element. These cars were square boxes that were notorious for blind spots. They gave you three mirrors, and none of those mirrors served a single purpose because anything in the left and the right side of your vehicle was completely unseeable. You could try to look over your shoulder, and all you saw was more plastic. There was so much plastic. And the problem with blind spots is that if you go to change lanes and there's someone in that random spot, that's the blind spot, which in this case was the entire length of the car, you're going to be on a collision course and maybe meet your maker. And the reality in our own personal lives is we all have blind spots in our lives that if we're not careful, things will lurk there. We don't know that it's there. We don't know that it's coming. If we don't have wise counsel that's saying, hey, don't head in that direction, we'll be on a collision course in a direction that we don't want to be doing. And I am fully aware of one of my huge blind spots. It's the opposite sex when it comes to being in a romantic relationship. I'm honest. I can be honest. I went through a separation and a divorce. And so I know that if I'm not careful when I enter into a romantic relationship, a dating relationship, that I need to have as much wise counsel as I can possibly get in my life because I will probably screw it up. Because my heart will lead me in all kinds of crazy directions. And so I have friends that I've identified and given permission to say, hey, Shannon, how's it going? How are you doing? We have to be proactive in inviting people in to be part of our lives. I can't assume that it's just going to happen, but I have to give permission to others to actually speak in advance. And so if you are aware of a blind spot in your life, that is a great opportunity to invite somebody in to that area, to give permission. For me, those people that I invite in are people like counselors, coaches. It could be a spouse, it could be friends, it could be a family member, it could be your small group. And I take all the wisdom and all the counsel that I'm getting from those people, and I take it to the Lord, and I compare it with his word, and I pay attention if someone is, more than one person is saying the same thing. That's like a, hey, Shannon, woo, three people are noticing this about your life right now, because I have blind spots. And I'm aware that others are more knowledgeable than me in some areas of life. You know, my counselor that I go to is my work and my ministry life guy. Steve, who I call Captain America, is my fitness and health guy. Zeke is my finance guy. He can pinch $100 out of a penny. John is my house guy. Alec is my everything else guy. Chris is my heart guy. And I, as a side note, all of these relationships I mentioned, other than the counselor and the coach for the most part, are reciprocal. I do the same for them. They're giving wise counsel in my life, but then there's times where I'm also bringing wise and godly counsel to them because we're part of community, we're part of life. So who are your people? Who is your tribe? Because only a fool does life alone. He who willfully separates himself from God and man seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Proverbs 18:1. And I need to point this out. Sometimes wisdom comes from people we don't want to hear it from. Like your child. I love, Kristen's always telling stories about how Judah will correct them and call them higher in things. She'll tell you some funny ones. Ask her. Don't discount the wisdom and advice because of the source. Because what could be being shared with you is still godly wisdom, even though maybe you don't like the person. Or you don't like that person that day, right? So I find godly wisdom and counsel in God's word. I find godly wisdom and counsel from others. And I find godly wisdom and counsel from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't just this mystical floating being like you maybe learned about in Sunday school back in the day like I did. We learned about this concept of the Trinity and like God was ice and Jesus, or no, God was water, Jesus was ice, and the Holy Spirit was steam. And all that did for me was create this weird dynamic of thinking Holy Spirit was some scary, weird thing that I couldn't comprehend or understand or interact with, and I'd get burnt. Right? But Scripture shows us that the Holy Spirit is a person. He thinks, he speaks, and he leads. And he's a promise from Jesus. Jesus, when he came towards the end of his life, when he was getting ready to go to the cross, when he met with his disciples, he basically tells them that I am not going to leave you alone and on your own as orphans that you should be afraid, but I am going to go so that someone else can come who can be with you and he's going to be in you. John 14:16, Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be with you forever and will be in you. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take into his heart because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. I love this because back in the Old Testament times, the Spirit and the presence of the Lord dwelt in the tabernacle and then in the temple. And when those were destroyed and when the veil was torn, when Jesus died and was resurrected from the dead, the temple now is us, followers of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. So everywhere we go, the presence and the power of God is in us. We are not alone. And it's forever. He doesn't die out. It ain't like you miss the boat and only the first century apostles get it. Nope, that's a lie. It's available for all. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will teach you and cause you to remember. John 14:26, Jesus said he will teach you all things and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. I need that. When I had this encounter with the Holy Spirit when I was 20 after I had surrendered my life to Christ, and And it was for the first time that the Word of God actually became active and alive. Like, I could sit and just read and read and read and read, and it made sense. And it was because he was doing the job of like causing me to remember, and he was teaching me as I was reading. And I'm praying that this morning that some of you will walk out of here with that sort of fire and hunger and passion. That the season of when you read and spend time with Jesus, the just distraction and the inability to press in would end. Jesus said the Holy Spirit can have a relationship with you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's job is to convict and convince. Thank you, Lord. Some of us need to get that. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict and convince, not mine, right? And when he comes, he will convict the world about the guilt of sin and the need for a Savior. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will guide you. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, full and complete truth. And so we have to be careful because we have this thing like called a conscience or our heart. You know, we've heard songs that are like, listen to your heart. Like, no. If I listen to my heart and my conscience all the time, it's gonna lead me off into some crazy la-la land that ain't real. I need to listen to the Holy Spirit because my natural tendency is to go towards sin. And the more I listen to my heart and to my conscience, the more I get involved in sin, the more I become desensitized to sin, and then I don't have a problem with sin. But the Holy Spirit's job is to convict and convince. And so if he is within me and I'm following his leading, then it will prevent me from finding myself dabbling in sin all the time. And he'll bring godly counsel and wisdom in my life. He can give us wisdom and knowledge from above. We just need to ask. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of a benevolent God who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. We can daily ask for his wisdom. I try every morning to ask, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to know about today? I try on my way into work to ask, Holy Spirit, what should I know about today? As I'm in a meeting, I ask, Holy Spirit, what are you saying right now? As I'm sitting and having coffee with somebody, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to be aware of? When I'm trying to make a decision, even minor, well, not so minor, decisions like what to do with my hot water heater, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, what in the world do I do? You know? And I'm waiting to be guided by him. And I've seen the most minor things that could seem like coincidences actually be a journey with the Holy Spirit in an adventure. I went out to eat with my roommate recently. We walked downtown. And after we were done, well, the whole time we were eating, I'm thinking, I need to go get a gift card for somebody. We should go to the ice cream shop, and then I can get ice cream for myself because I love ice cream. And then I'm like, no, we don't have time. No, I don't need ice cream. Yes, I need ice cream. Oh, what should I do? It's like the sin that's in within me, you know, that whole verse again. And I told my roommate, like, yeah, we should, if they're open, we should walk up there because I still feel like I need to just get that gift card even though I don't know that this is what the person will want. And so we walked to the ice cream shop. We did our thing, had a long line. It took forever. And when we walked out of the ice cream shop, there standing was a guy I haven't seen for 5 years who had walked away from the Lord. And I'm like, this is why we're here. This is why we're here. So I talked with him and it was just a normal passing conversation. And like I normally end a conversation like that, I'm like, hey, bro, you still got my number. You can hit me up anytime. Well, let's get together. And I'm like, that's my test. Lord, is this of you? Because if it is, he'll follow up. And 3 days later, I get a random text message saying, hey, can we do that coffee? Total minor thing, total not a big deal, total I could rub that off as a coincidence. But reality is it was an adventure with the Holy Spirit. However big or small. And some of us, we can be invited into this journey even when we lead our businesses to have this adventure with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit says, pick this person to work on your crew. And you're like, this person doesn't look like everybody else and isn't the same as everyone else and doesn't fit the description of what we're looking for. No, God. And Holy Spirit says, pick this person to be on your crew. It's a crazy journey and adventure. But the adventure starts literally with pursuing Jesus. The start to living with godly wisdom and counsel is surrendering your life to the authority and the leadership of Jesus, where you're no longer in control. You have said, you are in control of my life because you literally have given your life to pay my debt for sin so that I can be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's a beautiful thing that we just don't fully comprehend. And this morning, you might have come in the room and you've heard us sing about Jesus. You've heard Colin share about communion. And you might be just sitting on the outside, in a sense, looking through the door and just kind of like, I can't go in completely into the presence of the Lord. I can't go in to full in with relationship because I've got too much stuff. I've got too much baggage. I've got too much sin. I've got to take care of this thing first. And that's a lie of the enemy. The reality is you are not good enough. I just passed a billboard on the highway recently that says, you are enough. That's the biggest lie in the world. You are not enough. If we're enough, we don't need Jesus. You need Jesus. And what makes you enough is him. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. And so you can fully come into his presence and into relationship and into right standing just as you are. You no longer have to view from the outside. And I want to extend that invitation that if you've removed yourself from God's presence because of stuff that's been going on and said, I can't come close to God, or maybe just never in life you've surrendered and come into his presence, that you can right now this morning. And so I just want to ask you to just close your eyes so you can focus on you and God. Not for any other reason, just to kind of remove the distractions, and it's just you and God. And you can invite him right now to meet you right where you are. If there's a certain thing that's at the forefront of your mind that just brings guilt and shame, that is preventing you from fully pressing into his presence, I want to encourage you internally to just talk to him about that thing. Ask for forgiveness. Thank him for Jesus' death and resurrection and what he's done. God already knows about that thing, and he forgives it. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus right now. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to earth, he gave his life, he shed his blood on a cross for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And so right now, we repent of all of our sin, that thing that is just nagging us right now. Lord, we are sorry. We turn completely away from it, and we give you control of that area of our life and all of our heart and our mind and our life. We believe that you rose from the dead so that we can be raised from a spiritual death and that we can have eternal life. And we say right now that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for changing our lives, because we will never be the same again. And so the image I have in my mind right now as we pray, that if you've been looking from the outside in, is that Jesus is standing there and he's just beckoning you to come. And as you are scared to move forward, he runs towards you and he embraces you in his arms. The arms and the hands that have wounds, that were pierced for you. He hugs you like a father would hug a son or a daughter that they love so much that maybe you've never experienced. And so right now, that is what you are receiving. That might be what you're feeling, is that the creator of the universe is just saying, welcome home and welcome in. This morning, if you identified with that and you said that that's me, I just prayed that prayer, I identified that thing, and I've never done it before, or I did it as a recommitment right now. We want to give you some tools to help you on this journey. We want to give you a Bible and some other information to help you tomorrow and the next day press into the Lord's presence. And so the ushers right now have boxes. You can just raise your hand and they'll get one of those boxes into your hand. And if you have questions as we end the service today about what it means to walk in this relationship, I want to encourage you to either come up front and talk with one of our prayer team or stop by Connections. I want to take a few minutes to pray together. we're running over. I'm really sorry. And so what I'm gonna do is, as non-distracting as possible, if you need to go to pick your kids up and you need to leave, you're dismissed. But I wanna take another about 5 to 10 minutes to do some prayer together as a community. So there's no pressure if that's how you're feeling. You might have things that you need to attend to. But I wanna pray for three things. The first thing I wanna pray with you about is I wanna pray for those who are struggling to study and spend time in the Word. Like when you sit down and you go to read the Word of God, it just makes no sense. There's like 100,000 thoughts and distractions going through your head, and you it's just like there's a huge blockage when it comes to reading the Word and spending time with God. And so if that's you, I just wanna ask you to stand where you are, and we wanna pray with you. Yeah, I see some people standing. Go ahead and stand. You say that you're saying that there's just this blockage. Yeah. I want to thank you for being honest and open, because this is something that many of us deal with throughout our relationship and our journey with God. And so we want to pray that the Word would just be active and alive right now. I actually want to ask Colin if you will pray for these people. So if you're nearby, you want to lay your hand on their shoulder and pray for them, or if you want to extend your hand, let's pray together. Colin, if you can pray.
Sure. Father, we just acknowledge each person that is saying that they want more of you and more of your Word. God, we just pray that any blockage, any distraction be removed in the name of Jesus, that when each individual wants to spend time, get closer to you, God, get into your Word, Lord, that all distraction would go. Lord, that you'd give them the wisdom and steps to take to remove distraction, get isolated so that they can enter in a special time. And Lord, we pray that when they spend this time, Lord, that words would jump off the page, Lord, that your voice would be known and so obvious to them that they would experience just such a newness and an awe of what you're trying to say. Lord, your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I want to encourage those of you that are standing. Some of you might even be sitting. A lot of times in my own personal life, the reason why there was a blockage was because there was unconfessed sin that I was afraid to talk to someone else about. And as soon as I let someone else in and let them know, now this might not be the case for everyone, I think this is for someone specific. As soon as I let someone in and let them know, it was like the blockage was removed. So I want to encourage you to find someone, maybe this morning, a prayer team member that will pray with you and that you can be open with. I also want to pray for those of you that you can hear the voice of the Lord, and you, when you read the Word, it makes sense, but the challenge is to be obedient. You're struggling with obedience. Can you stand? You're struggling with being obedient to that something that the Lord's calling you to do. I want to pray for you. Yes. So God, we thank you right now for those that are standing here in the room and those online that identify with, I've heard your voice, Lord. Give me the courage and strength to step out in faith. God, I thank you that you meet us just like Jaron did on the other side of the box, and that when we take that leap and that jump, that you are there to catch us. I pray that you would give wisdom as they step out. Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit would be loud, 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 loud in this area. That when you are calling us to do something, it would be like we can't turn it off and ignore it. I pray, Lord, that we would be more concerned about pleasing you than looking stupid or like a fool to others. That we would not fear man, but we would only fear being disobedient to you. Amen. Let's all stand. And as we close, I want to invite the Holy Spirit just to fill every single one of us, because we daily all need the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So go ahead and place your hand on your head and your other hand in the air, kind of like this. Right now, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to fill us completely, every nook and cranny. Every nook and cranny, every thought comes under the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit and under the authority of Jesus right now. Anything, any anxiety, any lies of the enemy, any demonic force that's been set up against us must go in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you right now for freedom, freedom that comes from the blood and through Jesus. And so right now, fill us, fill us, fill us, that nothing but you can dwell. I pray that daily as we spend time in relationship with you and in your word, that it would be a refilling moment, and that we would walk in confidence as we go throughout our day, knowing that we are not alone, but that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you go, I have homework. Because church is more than just coming and checking in on a Sunday and then forgetting everything that you've learned and not applying it. So you have three homework assignments this week. Are you ready? Number one, spend time in the Word. Can you do that? All right, good. We're good there. Number two, give permission for someone to speak into your life. Can you do that? You can do it. And number three, be filled with the Holy Spirit and led daily. Can you do that? Yes. That is your homework for this week. If you want a copy of those resources, they're at both kiosks. If you need prayer for anything, maybe there's restoration needed in your family, you need healing, we will have prayer partners up here. If you have any questions about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, we'd love to also talk with you about that. And connections, you can go to find out how to get connected here at Worship Center and get into a small group. We love you, Worship Center. Thanks for being with us this morning. Have a great week.